Welcome to the Second Thought for the Day podcast. In this episode, we dissect a thought for the day to expose all in it that is not factful and reasonable. This Second Thought podcast is in response to Thought for the Day on BBC Radio 4 from the 16th of April 2025, which was by the Reverend Dr. Sam Wells. Sam's broadcast opens with a falsehood. It does not improve much after that. Sam focuses on two aspects of the Easter story. The first is that all of humanity is mirrored in the cast. Peter is impulsive, Judas abandons his loyalties, Mary is faithful, and so on. The second aspect, which is very much the thrust of the broadcast, is to see God as Jesus, as the man at the centre of the story. That is not a throne-sitting, glory-hungry almighty, but a vulnerable, tortured outcast. Apparently, this signifies God not apart from and above human suffering, but prepared to enter it and to embrace and empathize with human brokenness, which, Wells concludes, is what Holy Week is all about. You'll quickly see what we make of it, but you're the only judge that matters. In case of use, at secondthoughtfortheday.com, you'll find the original broadcast and transcripts. You'll also find the script to this podcast and relevant links and notes, as well as all the other podcasts we've done. secondthoughtfortheday.com. For now, here's our Second Thought report on Sam Wells. He starts by telling us that
every story invites us to take an imaginative leap.
Hogwash. Many stories do, many, though, don't. Who is this clown? You get the sense he's used to making groundless, sweeping statements without fear of criticism. He goes on to say,
the story of Holy Week invites us to take two. The first is to see in each character aspects of ourselves. The second imaginative leap is to see the man at the centre of things, as God.
Oh, dear Sam. If only there were just the two. The requirement for suspension of disbelief in the story of Holy Week is abundant from the outset. There are supernatural beings, or at least there's one that takes multiple forms. This being is eternal. This being cares sufficiently about life on earth that it sent an envoy or embodiment to live as a human so that humanity might be saved from itself. That's three required leaps of the imagination, and we are barely off the starting line. We're then told that
God is widely associated with thrones and power and glory, but there's none of that in this story. This man rides a donkey of peace, not a stallion of war. He's beaten and mocked, not praised and lauded. He's dragged through the streets and nailed to two pieces of wood. He's executed among criminals and abandoned by his friends.
Sam then purports to speak for all of us, Christians and non-Christians, on his knowledge of our minds.
The curious thing is, even though this is the way he's portrayed in this fundamental story, both those who uphold Christianity and those who keep their distance still default to a picture of God as high and mighty.
Speak for yourself, Wells. I suggest that glory and thrones are quite human concepts. For what does a god need a throne? Do gods have need for arse parking? And glory would surely only be necessary for a god in fear of defeat or irrelevance. That being the case, the word God is likely evidence of a category error. Anyway, all this from Sam is an effort to draw a contrast between the high and mighty and the humble and spurned when considering Christ as a God. Then, while setting up his conclusion, Wells makes some interesting claims.
We live in a culture saturated with information and obsessed with judgment. When we hear something bad about someone, we quickly unfriend them, cancel them, and put distance between us and them.
What a dismal view of humanity and modern life Sam must have if he genuinely thinks these things. Even if he does, he's no business making groundless statements that present these beliefs as facts. He's no way to determine the saturation of information within our culture. Hyperbole it might be, but it's definitely also a false claim. Perhaps Samuel is reflecting with sadness that the church used to have something of a monopoly on information. As for a vicar of the Church of England telling me that I'm obsessed with judgment, get a grip, or at least some self-awareness. And of course, Sam, you have no evidence or even rhetorical grounds to claim that our culture is obsessed with judgment. This is more hyperbole, another ridiculous and groundless claim. And what is it with Sam's pronouncement of how we all behave when we hear something bad about someone? Now, sure, Sam may do this, and it may be that a significant number of people in our culture do the same. But it's at best conjecture. To present it as fact and to apply it to all of us is a groundless generalization to make a false claim, seemingly in order to deceive. And it's then that we come to the first real problem with the broadcast. Our vicar claims,
"This is a story where God says, 'I will never let you go. I am dying to be with you, come what may.'"
No, sir. You can believe and preach what you like. But don't you think a little care is required when you're not at your own dais preaching to your own flock? You were addressing involuntary listeners, people who tuned in for Today, a news and current affairs program that is among the best and most rigorous in the world. Your approach to reason and facts might benefit from an accommodation of this. Let's go along with the idea of the magical players in this story. This God, and its earthly envoy, son or incarnation, is a supernatural being, okay? So it knows nothing of death, it's eternal. No doubt it can play act death, but this would have no meaning because death only has meaning because of its finality. For example, there's no sacrifice in death if there is convenient resurrection. There's no jeopardy if death is simply the loss of a life, as in a computer game. So what does dying to be with you mean in this context? Well, apparently Sam intends the meaning literally. That doesn't just require leaps of the imagination. It demands flips and twists of the imagination. Given that this God is immortal, the notion of it dying to be with you is wholly without meaning. Sam then claims,
"To embark on a project and invest everything in it and see it get into terrible trouble is to face a moment of truth. It's a very human problem. This story says it's a divine problem. It's the divine problem. It's what Holy Week is all about."
On this, I am inclined to agree. It's the really big, ugly problem with divinity in this story. A divine being is immortal. Claiming meaning through death of a god in the teachings of that immortal god is to introduce an inescapable contradiction. Leap is a wildly inadequate term for what is required of the imagination to take a word of this broadcast seriously. What a load of hyperbolics.